Rolling. Hello there, Andy and Zach, back with another episode of the A to Z No BS Show. And today we have a special guest, actually a podcaster in his own right, Nashville's very own Tony Capobianco, host of the Hot Takes and Protein Shakes show. Tony, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Of course, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh,
cozy ass apartment of yours.
No, oh, I appreciate
some black
that.
Coffee.
I can't help but feel like you're putting some extra Boston stank on that intro.
Oh, I mean, like, you know, we gotta keep up appearances. I can't let my accent get watered down.
No, definitely not. Especially
I actually feel like it's gone thicker since I left.
Has it now?
I think so, because back home I was like, I don't talk like the rest of you people.
You
then
people.
The second I leave, then like. All my E's and R's just disappear.
It'll be interesting to see over the course of time how your Boston accent maybe slips into a little Southern accent, a little mix there. Do you think that'll happen?
I don't know. I mean, I'd probably have to be around it a little bit more. I mean, this is kind of like Tennessee is like, you know, the north of the South. You know, we're just right on that line. So that's where a lot of accents kind of mix. So, but I think the deeper you go, that's where the thicker it gets. So I don't know if I have to go all the way down to like, what, like Baton Rouge or
Southern Georgia or anywhere in Alabama.
Yeah. Or Mississippi.
Literally anywhere in Alabama.
I know. It's going to be a while before Roll Tide makes its way into my vocabulary.
Okay. Well, just don't say it this week. Or next week, because Tennessee plays Bama on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, that is interesting. There really isn't as much Southern accents that I hear on a day-to-day as much as I would have assumed when I first moved to town.
I think if you went anywhere outside of this city, like
it would be
Nashville's kind of, you know, Nashville's grown in popularity over the years, so there's a lot of people not from here.
Right.
So accents sort of disappear. But if you go to East Tennessee, oh boy. Go anywhere outside of Knoxville. Ugh. It's a lot.
Ugh, he says. All right. Well, accents. Enough about accents. Tony, tell us what drew you out of the depths of Boston and brought you down to Nashville?
Well, I've grown up in Massachusetts my whole life, born and raised there. And I just hit that point where, like, I didn't want to be one of those people who settles down 10 minutes from where they grew up, you know?
Sure.
Like, I'm a little more like, the adventurous individual in my family. I always want to go out. I want to, like, you know, explore. I mean, it's a big country. You know, I'd love to be able to see
it. Yeah.
So that, and I needed, like, a big change of scenery. I mean, Boston will always be my home, but, you know, around this time, like, this is October. It's probably, like, in the 20s and 30s right now.
Mm.
And, you know, I cannot go another winter up there. I mean, 4 feet of snow. Like, forget it. Forget it. Like, all that shoveling? No way. I mean, that's the only reason why I bought a truck with four-wheel drive.
Sure.
Yeah, everybody, like, whenever I remember, every winter, I have like, a Jeep. Or like my truck now, but whenever I see people like, you know, skidding along and fishtailing and spinning out in the snow, I'm like, how long have you people lived here? No, you should know better. Four wheel drive, traction control, get it together.
Well, as I am always first to admit, I'm a bad driver. Period. So you can't put me in snow or bad weather. So I've kind of had to write off most states kind of from the north just because I would be one of those people who would just be very irresponsible on the road. So I have to keep it down south.
And I will say this, the way the South handles snow is laughable. Oh my God.
No, we don't.
Southern snow days. It's one of my favorite things.
I mean, I know coming from where I come from, you know, you'd expect that from me, but down here it is like, wow. Like you guys get 2 inches and suddenly it's like the end of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're flooding Kroger. It's going to be the day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Andy is
born and raised here, so I get it.
Well, Andy is known for walking to the Kroger to get supplies in the midst of some of our more gnarly snowstorms.
I could drive. It's not so much that I don't trust my own abilities. I don't trust other people's abilities to drive. And then it's one of those things, too, like, it's if I can walk, it's more risky to, like, wreck my car and more expensive. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk. Take a backpack, go to Kroger, get loaded up on beer and chips and whatever, and then just stay hunkered down for a few days.
Yeah.
Plus, all the more reason to be kind of like a hardo for fitness, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Get your cardio in, get your steps in.
Yeah.
You know, hauling back some, like, what? Like, 15 pounds or something?
Yeah.
Just bread, you know, milk.
Yeah. For my bread and milk stew or whatever.
Bread and milk gumbo?
Yeah.
Love that.
No, it's usually a couple frozen pizzas and beer and chips and dip.
That'll
last
you.
Yeah, the last snowstorm, not this past year, but a few years back, my wife and I walked to the grocery store and grabbed all of those things and then came back and played N64 for like 2 days.
Hell yes.
And drank beer and ate frozen pizza. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
you knew that you had to get out of the Boston area. Was there anything in particular about Nashville that struck your fancy? I mean, I think we're kind of a part of this crop. In my mind, it seems like Denver, Nashville, Austin are kind of like in that line from like north to south, kind of right there in the middle of the country, that seem to be the big draws, especially for comedy.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it was definitely between here and Austin, Texas. And I mean, Nashville and Austin are in many ways similar. There's a lot of overlap. The only difference, main reason why I chose Nashville over Austin was one, when I checked out Austin, it's a great scene, but pretty much everybody who's been doing comedy for like two years and less just kind of picked up and flooded the area collectively. So it's a big scene, but it's very easy to get lost in it. Whereas Nashville, you know, it's a little bit of a smaller comedy scene, but it has great talent here. And you can really stand out more as long as you put in the work.
Right.
And, you know, if you constantly stay consistent, if you're constantly getting up, improving your writing, improving your sets, then, yeah, your work is going to reflect that. And, I mean, comedy is one reason why I decided to move here. Another reason, affordability, weather, and I guess Southern hospitality is real. That was another thing I come to realize since moving down here. And as somebody from the north, I am very skeptical and very, you know, cynical, even though their thoughts might be genuine. Like, they're generally being nice. Coming from where I come from, it's like, what's your angle, guy?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know? And I've been here for, as of October, it's just over a year.
Yeah, right
and
on.
And, dude, I should have got down here a long time ago.
I was going to say, I'm having a cookout today. You want to come over? And there's no angle there.
Come on over after leg day.
And come on over after leg day and have some burgers and hot dogs and shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
I put a couch out on my patio. I'm trying to sell the couch, but it's gonna stay there, so you can hang out, sit on the couch, drink some beer. No angle, just come hang out, eat some free food.
And you know, obviously, you know, whenever he says no angle, I gotta think. All right, there's a hint, there's an ulterior motive.
He's hoping you'll bring some San Adams over, maybe.
I already got beer. I don't need any beer.
No, Andy has everything he needs.
Yeah, I got everything. No. To the Southern hospitality thing, I don't know if it's like a born and raised, or probably, because my parents are both from here. Like, I have generations here. And my mom's side of the family especially is a little bit more of a, like, Southern. Like, if you want to hear some Southern accents, I'll just hang out with my mom's side of the family. Like, they've got some pretty deep Southern accents. But the you know, the potluck, get together, cookout, you know, make sure everybody gets fed. It's just part of, you know, how I grew up and whatever. And so I think there's probably similarities to, because up north, like, family, big family get-togethers is probably a big thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm kind of come from a big Italian family, and we are aggressively hospitable.
Right.
So when I see somebody else do it, I'm like, all right, what's going on
here? Same thing, but just a little more southern accent.
Somebody trying to, like, recruit me into a militia? What's going on?
There's more meemaws and pawpaws in the South, and that's about it. That's the only difference.
So I may have failed to also properly introduce you. We're melding industries or scenes here because you're into fitness. We'll get a lot more into that, but I don't know if I specifically mentioned that you are a comedian.
Yes.
Yes. So hence the whole comedy scene reference that brought you down here. So comedy is something that honestly I've always been kind of a casual fan of, like, Comedy Central growing up was obviously always on TV. We were just talking about Dave Attell. Mm-hmm. Dave Attell Insomniac was, like, one of my favorite shows, you know, growing up. And then, of course, you know, as you get a little older, at least in college, it was the Daily Show and Colbert Report. Those were, like, a daily thing. But then kind of like more here recently, I've been getting more into stand-up. So like 9 times out of 10 when I turn on Netflix, I'm usually first checking out the stand-up specials. And it's gotten to be an art form and an entertainment source, obviously, that I've come to really appreciate and love more here in the past couple years. So how did you start off with comedy?
Well, I fell in love with it probably when I was a teenager. Again, like when Comedy Central first came out with all those, like with Daily Show and all those half hour specials. Like, remember when Dane Cook first got big with his half hour special? His is probably the most watched Comedy Central special ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around that time. I didn't realize it at first, but I just watched as a fan, like, wow, like, how much fun are these people having? Mm. You know, they're just up there, just telling jokes, everybody's having a great time, and they're getting paid to do it, but that wasn't, like, the main incentive. I was just in awe of just how much fun they're having, and I feel like that kind of planted a seed in the back of my brain, and I didn't really address it. I just kept put it on the shelf until I was, what, 25. It was on my 25th birthday, I made the resolution that I was going to do stand-up.
Mm.
And I felt like, you know what? I think the time has come. And I've been doing it nonstop ever since. So with the exception of COVID, I've been doing it for 8 years, and I do not regret one set.
Oh, right.
I'm so happy. It's a lot of fun, but it is not easy.
Right.
I will tell you that much. Like, the amount of time I've been on stage, the amount of bombing I've done, it is a lot of fun. I will say that much.
Yeah. Well, like many things, making it look easy is the hard part.
I mean, Dave Attell, for example, I mean, he's by far, should be in every comedian's Mount Rushmore. I mean, he is, without a doubt, one of the GOATs. I mean, to the average person, somebody might assume, like, you know, Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr, who are obviously GOATs themselves. But if you ask them who's a GOAT, they're going to say Dave Attell.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just rouses them. If you've ever seen Dave Attell live, he just rouses them off one after another. And it's like he says it for the first time.
Right.
And like how, like, he just has this stuff in his Rolodex, just in his brain. It's like, where does all this come from? You know? It's like you just have something ready at all times. And again, you know, he's been doing it for decades to the point where it's like, you know, it's just like a muscle reflex.
Right.
Like, he doesn't even have to think about it. He's just ready to go.
Yeah.
And he is without a doubt one of the funniest human beings I've ever seen live.
Agreed. We were just saying that I got to see Dave Attell at Zany's last month or a couple months ago, and his mix of self-deprecating jokes, up to date, culturally relevant jokes, timeless, like evergreen jokes, crowd work, and just riffing with some other comedians that he just brought, you know, his opening acts up on stage. Those are like four or five like distinctly different types or styles of jokes and comedy, and he's just this old-ish guy who, like, he's not super physical, he's not super dynamic. He'll just kind of make very subtle movements, just kind of around the stage. And yeah, speaking to your point, he just killed from top to bottom.
Oh.
Like, no downtime.
Mm-mm.
And would just seamlessly go between, I don't know, what was that? the ghost of Dave Attell, I think.
No, he ain't dead yet. It's probably the ghost of Joan Rivers.
There you go. Yeah, so he was just, again, like watching a master go to work. And if we can maybe just take the kernel of the theme there and maybe like apply it to like training or coaching, it's just like any other craft where it's like you'll find yourself in different scenarios with different goals. And like the mark of a master is just being supremely adaptable and seamless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because using him as an example, I mean, yeah, like he writes all the time. He's up there testing material, find out what works, what doesn't. For the stuff that doesn't work, either A, rework it, find a new angle where it could work, or B, toss in the trash. And that's what I do for my sets. Like I always, whenever I'm on stage, usually I'll like film my sets or at least record them on my phone, listen back to it later, find out, okay, this joke worked, this one didn't, this one got a little this one did all right. So the ones that work, I keep. The ones that are kind of like in the middle ground, like you know, there's some room there, there's potential there for them to get better. How can I make these better? And for the ones that don't work, either A, get rid of them, or B, try them again from a different angle. If those don't work, then you just trim the fat. So again, like his stuff is lean. There's no fat on any of his stuff. So like his set is almost like an Arnold Schwarzenegger of a set. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's the same approach that I think certainly like Andy and I would take like in coaching and training is like we have to be adaptable. We have to keep people like moving from start to finish, trimming the fat, making sure that we're not doing anything to like waste people's time, that kind of thing. So I'm always obviously just trying to draw parallels between, you know, different forms of, you know, arts and crafts, if you will, and apply it back to training. So speaking of training, what role has fitness and lifting played in your life?
Oh God, I mean, well, I've always been like a naturally big guy. I've always had a larger frame, which is kind of like an amalgam or like a little oddity for the rest of my family because nobody else has the same build as me. Like I'm the middle of three brothers. So there's me, an older brother, and a younger brother, and they're both built the same. They're both like built like a pair of squirrel monkeys. And I'm the only like silverback gorilla. And everybody's looking like, where did this come from? So I just
got... milkman, a jack dude? What's going on here?
It was like a sleeper gene that just kind of just showed up like, you know, at the right time. Like, I don't know if one of my ancestors were, you know, storming the gates or something, but
I was gonna say you look like you're ready at to storm somebody's gate. I can tell you that.
Hey girl, I'll storm your gate.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, but so I've always had like a larger frame, so I've figured, you know, might as well just steer into it. So I spent years just as, you know, just a typical gym rat, just at the gym every day. And you know, I had a good routine, but I feel like I just hit that plateau, you know, where it's like, I feel like I know I'm missing something. And in the world of the internet, there's a lot of information there, but it's an abundance of information. So I don't know which one, like what I should listen to, what I should ignore, because you can have two like fitness experts on the same topic and give completely different opinions. So like how to get a bigger chest. Oh, you got to do this, this, and this. Then, you know, person B is like, oh, you actually got to do this, this, and this. So I'm like, who's telling the truth here? So rather than just relying on the internet with like, you know, just a gigantic buffet of opinions, I'd rather just go to somebody who I know who is like, you know, tried and true and is actually has like, you know, the portfolio of, you know, of results. So I went to the Redcon One gym here, which is more an emphasis on the bodybuilding side, which I've always been a fan of. I got my my coach Yasser Takagi, who is the fucking man. I mean, he gave me a much needed ass whooping.
Mm.
Yeah. And I say that in a good way because it broke me out of that plateau.
Mm.
You know, and I finally started getting the results I wanted.
Mm.
And yeah, so until I spoke to somebody who actually knew what they were doing rather than just, you know, watch a YouTube video. I'm like, ah, okay, that's all it takes.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more information I didn't know. I didn't know. You only know what you know, and you only don't know what you don't know. So I figured I'll just, you know, he'll just hold my hand and just, here's what you got to do, because he's done this for God knows how long. And the results showed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it's yeah,
really working out.
Having someone hold your feet to the fire.
Yes.
Makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that I've appreciated more as I've gotten older, is I think paying an expert, paying a coach is like the closest thing that you'll get to a shortcut in anything in life.
It's, I would say, it's almost like a legitimate shortcut.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get what you pay for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you, sometimes that means like doing less. Like learning or knowing less. Like put the book down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more information. You need someone to like, again, hold your feet to the fire and like work harder on this. So sometimes it's a matter of simplifying the process. Doing less, but doing it better, doing it harder.
Trimming the fat.
Trimming the fat.
Exactly. Yeah, like, somebody might say, oh, you gotta work out at the gym for 2 hours a day. It's like, no, you don't. All right, I work out an hour at best. You know, that includes cardio. Well, maybe a little bit extra because of cardio. But weights, a majority of it, I'm like 45 minutes, and then I'm out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So, like nobody who spends 2 hours at the gym every day is seeing the same results. And if anything, it's working against them, in my opinion.
Sure.
All that junk volume. I can't imagine filling 2 hours with lifting. We did what, 35, 40 minutes yesterday? And got how many sets done? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. With arm farm, up to 20 sets in about 35, 40 minutes. Now we were hustling because we had football to watch. But, I mean, 20 sets done in 40 minutes or whatever. Like,
yeah, we were hoofing it.
Yeah. I mean, beyond that, I don't know what more we could have done that would have eked out any better, you know, any more progress than what we did do. Mm. We probably could have taken our time a little bit, maybe. But, fuck it. Like, it was a good pump, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were to approach the same methodology to stand-up, like, I can go to every single open mic and do every single show, like, you know, every single day. However, that also leaves open to the possibility that I'm not taking any time to listen to these sets. Or I'm not taking any time to write any new material. You know, if I'm just going out there doing the exact same act with no changes, then what am I even doing?
Yeah.
You know, there's no growth. There's no, you know, progress being made. You're just kind of just staying at this level. And if you want to get better, then yeah, you have to make those changes.
Progressive overload.
Progressive overload.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a foundational principle, you know, not just in
lifting. Very much so. And ever since I started working with Yasser back in, I think, March, I've lost 30 pounds. So I started off at 240 something. I'm down to 208. And, you know, it's, oh, dude, I can finally see my abs. I am so happy. Oh, yeah, I finally got, like, you know, it's all starting to take form, you know. And, dude, like, the amount of, like, I got going my way. Nice. Holy shit.
Nice.
I don't know how clean this podcast is supposed to be.
It's explicit. I say fuck more than he does. But.
Okay, good. But, dude, yeah, I'll be just, like, you know, what. Like, I barely ever go down Broadway, but for the times I do, like, I'll take one of my buddies visiting from out of town. I just, like, you know, I see girls just like, So they don't have to say anything. They just have to, you just see, like, you know, out of the corner of your eye, like, they're just staring back at
they know.
Like, there you go.
They know.
You also get that. How tall are you?
I'm 6.
Okay. 6 foot.
Yeah. I was going to say, no matter how jacked I am.
6 foot, 208, ladies. Watch out.
That's it. So what were, you know, you certainly don't have to give away the farm here, but what were the things that you guys worked on at the outset? What do you feel like were the main things that you did, that you added, subtracted, that made the biggest difference in your training and your physique?
I would say nutrition was probably the biggest thing, because I mean, the workouts, I mean, I've worked on every single machine. So, I mean, form is another thing. I'll get to that. But nutrition, I think, was the biggest determining factor, because I thought, you know, just stick to plain old chicken, rice, and, you know, like bananas and like only 6 different foods.
Sure.
But, what is less about that, more about portions, because like I never measured my food, I never weighed, I never did any of the whole, like, you know, have the food scale. I never did any of that. And it wasn't until I did where that's why I started seeing differences, because like in the morning I would have, before I started, I'd have like, I don't know, waffles. And, you know, once you have that every day, it kind of works against you. So I've replaced a lot of that with, like, you know, egg whites, eggs, blueberries. I have my coffee, and what else? Oh yeah, chicken, and cheats I barely ever use. I mean, I had one like 2 days ago, but it was a long-awaited cheat, and I was just telling you guys earlier, I had my first ever cookie hangover. So I had 5 guys with Cajun fries, and I closed it off with 4 crumble cookies.
Cool.
Woo, yeehaw.
Yeah. I should have stopped at 2. Yeah. Oh, I was like, oh, I can handle this, you know? Oh, I could not.
Yeah, yeah.
I called it a day after that.
Well, that's another wild thing, is like the healthier you get, I feel like the less tolerance you have for a lot of sugar, a lot of booze.
Yeah.
A lot of junk food. It's like, you know, if you're in a certain lifestyle where you're having that stuff all the time, you just like anything else, you build up a tolerance to it, and you can really pound that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think it has a lot to do with your gut biome, too.
Sure.
And that's probably the same reason why people who usually eat, like, fast food and cookies and ice cream and drink beer or whatever, if you give them a salad, they probably have an aversion to it, because their gut biome is like, ugh, need some grease down here. What are you doing with these leaves? So I think that has a lot to do with it. And retraining that is really, really hard. But anyway.
Yeah, because that was the first time I've had 5 guys in, I don't know, 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone, you know, and I've always felt like, you know, if I go so long with not having something, when I do, it just makes it all the more special. So when I have, it's like, oh my God, this is fantastic. But it wasn't until I had the crumble cookies where I sealed my own fate. So, like, you know, I've had them before, and they change them up every week. So I thought, like, you know, 4 should be enough, because, you know, I've gone so long without it. It's like, okay, I can handle this. Oh, no. I remember I was probably bedridden for like most of the day. I just took a nap around like 7 o'clock, didn't wake up until 10. And I was like, ooh, my arm's tingly.
Dude, I think somebody poisoned one of those crumble cookies,
waking up that next day, like, ooh. So, like, it just made me all the more determined, like, I got to work this off big time. Because what I did some damage. So, yeah. I'm like, never doing that again. Forget going down Broadway. Let's go to Crumble.
Yeah.
You don't have a morning you'll regret.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. That's kind of part of the cycle or the process of, like, just kind of finding a new normal in your lifestyle as it applies to, like, nutrition. Because, speaking to your point, you eat, quote-unquote, clean for so long, and then it's like, I'm going to have all this stuff that I was depriving myself of. And it's fun, you know, like eating some of the stuff is like, you know, gives you that dopamine rush. But then you get the negative repercussions afterwards. And it's just, you know, it's just like maybe like any other drug. It's like, you know, you don't drink for a while and then you go to Andy's barbecue and you have 8 or 10 beers and it's fun while you're partying with Andy. But then you wake up the next morning and it's the classic, like, lessons that you have to, like, learn from a hangover. Like, is this worth it? Or, like, where's the line? Where do I fall on the spectrum? And it can be like that with food, for sure. I've experienced that big time.
Yeah, my recovery period, I can't recover as fast as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when I was in college, I could have like a million beers, be, you know, waking up at 7 o'clock for class the next day, no problem. Whereas now it's like, you know, I'll have like, you know, gin and tonic. All right, like, calling it a day. Thanks. Thanks for playing.
Right. Yeah. So training wise, what do your workouts look like these days?
So work out 6 days a week. Spend about 30 to 45 minutes of just weights. And then I close it off with some abs, and I do like 15, 20 minutes of on the Stairmaster, which is probably one of the most evil machines ever invented. But, you know, that probably does, I think, as far as cardio goes, the best job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have legs today. I'm not looking forward to this. Mainly because I have to use the hack squat machine. And some people love the hack squat machine. I loathe it. I cannot stand the hack squat machine because, like, it's at a weird angle where you're kind of leaning back, but you also got to go down and make sure you have your feet in the right position, and you have to go all the way down. And I don't know what it is. Like, I just hate doing regular squats.
Right.
Like the regular squat machine. I see like videos on TikTok and Instagram, people doing the deep squat. I'm like, yeah, okay, good for them. I don't want to do that. And obviously, like, you know, legs, my legs show differently, but still, it's like, is the one machine I do not like.
Yeah.
I'm
right there with you. We kind of have, a notorious, like, sled version of the hack squat at the gym that Andy and I go to. And yeah, just doing the machine itself with no added plates is, like, for me, like, it's not easy.
No.
Didn't we do 20 reps with a little bit of weight on there?
At one workout, I think.
Yeah. It was like just the sled, or just the sled plus like 50 pounds or something. We did 20.
Yeah.
Or I did 20. I think I wanted to vomit after that, but anyway.
Like, I do 4 sets of 20 on leg days.
Oh, God.
Yeah. On every machine. The legs, always 4 sets of 20. Everything else, it's like 4 sets. It goes 12, 10, then 8, then 8. Increasing in weight as you go along. And with the hack squat, time slows down on that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like one suddenly feels like a million.
Yeah.
You know?
I like to emom the hack squat. And I've got like a timer that, and I usually either have it set where I can see it, or I'll have it in my headphones. And I'll get like my set of 10 or whatever and rack it. And it's like less than 30 seconds and I gotta go again. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, and I usually go like 5x10 or 5x12 emom. And on that third, fourth, fifth sets, I'm like, why did I do this? Like, I can't stop. I already set the timer in motion, but man, I would love to just quit right now because it hurts.
Oh, but I think one of my favorite things, two things that keeps me going working through all that is, again, Yasser, he's like, you know, like that drill sergeant in my brain. I mean, he moved out to Florida a few weeks ago, but still, I can always picture him there showing, yada, yada. So I keep going, keep going. And the other thing is, sometimes I'll listen to C.T. Fletcher.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever I'm struggling, I can just picture him, get your bitch ass up. Get up and do some work, motherfucker. I'm like, okay. You're right, CT.
He should have his own Spotify playlist.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
You can find CT Fletcher mashups.
Okay.
They're, all right, just hit they're that definitely shuffle. Motivating.
I'm just going to put that in my gym.
Here's a fun random fact. C.T. Fletcher has a brother who I actually think lives in East Nashville or around here, very close. He is a world-class blues guitar player.
Really?
Kirk Fletcher. Look him up. He is, you can definitely tell they're related, but he's a very, like, just jovial, happy-go-lucky character. And shreds guitar.
Hmm.
You can see him play around East Nashville every now and then.
Oh, no way.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe so we'll bump into C.T. Fletcher at Gym 5 one day when he's coming in to watch his brother.
Oh, man. I would lose it.
I mean, kind of like we bumped into Dana Lynn Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and her husband.
They came and worked out at Gym 5.
He's a good singer, too.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Rob Bailey?
Yeah,
Rob Bailey. Yeah, they're blasting his stuff at... Redcon all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, really? Yeah, she and him showed
Hold
up.
Strong!
We bumped into them at the gym, and I talked to them for a half second. Didn't even know who they were. I saw that they were jacked.
Mm.
But, and I like joked about whether or not I should remove plates from a machine that they wanted to use, because they were fucking huge. And I wanted to be like, this is your warm-up weight. You can add more, I'm done. And he later, he was like, do you know who you were just talking to? And I was like, no. He's like, pretty sure that's Dan Bailey and Rob Bailey. I was like, no way. And I looked him up right there, and I was like, fuck.
To be fair, they were like in full sweats when they like first walked in, so you couldn't exactly tell.
But then she was like, because this is like what, like warmer weather, so she's wearing like hot pink pants, sports bra, fucking like shredded ass. I mean, you just look, they both walked out, and everybody was like, fuck are these guys? Like, people at Gym 5 are jacked, but this was like the next level.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, because they, you know, they have like a whole social media following around their workouts and stuff, but they were definitely like out of everybody's league. You're like, fuck, I don't know who they are, but they're fucking
huge.
Big. So anyway, maybe we'll run into C.T. Fletcher over there one day.
Yeah.
He'd just be like yelling at everybody.
Yeah. I don't have many, I don't know what you would call it. I don't want to say like gym crush, but like, I feel like C.T. Fletcher, maybe Arnold, maybe a handful of other folks. I feel like I would actually be like a little starstruck fanboy around. Because like when I was first getting into working out, watching C.T. Fletcher videos was like part of the pre-workout
routine. Oh yeah, that gets you amped up.
Like I had to, you know, and you know. These days, it's like I kind of go out of my way to divorce like emotion from training. But especially like when you're first starting off, like you need all the motivation you can get. So watching C.T. Fletcher videos was like an integral part of just spiking my emotions to the point where I was motivated to get off the couch and go to the gym in the first place.
Yeah. You can always just picture him in the back head. Get your bitch ass up.
It's still your motherfucking set.
And there's also, he's very popular on social media, is Papa Swolio, Swole Normus.
Oh, yeah.
He's
go
to the fucking gym guy. And it's like, I love this guy. And when I'll be on TikTok, it's like, you're right.
Yeah.
But speaking of the emotional part, one thing that's worked for me is sometimes whenever I'm doing a set, and it's always the last three reps, which are the hardest. If you feel like you're about to burn out and you're like, you know, you have three left, I always tap into like a memory of like something where somebody like wronged me or something that pissed me off. It's like, you motherfucker. Then that just gets me through the last three.
Of course.
So yeah, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see. Andy Van came up with the idea of chatting about
some band exercises.
Not band B-A-N-D, but band B-A-N-N-E-D.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Band exercises.
Yeah, I'm rocking this Band Books mug.
And now that you're finished with the coffee, they're all censored. So, obviously...
Oh, no way. That's cool. I didn't
how
realize...
How about that?
Oh, that's a cool mug. I want that mug now.
My sister's fiance gifted me that mug, I think for Christmas last year. And to paint the picture for the listeners, it's a mug with book titles printed all around it. And it's one of these mugs where you fill it up with hot coffee and the censored black bars disappear and you are... obviously able to see what the book titles are. You
and
finish your coffee.
One of them is 1984.
Ironically enough.
Yeah. Like a book about censorship was censored. Yeah. Talk about irony.
On this coffee mug. So, that got us on the topic of banned books. Books that we have loathed to read. But being a fitness podcast, Andy turned it around into banned exercises.
Yeah.
So... Andy, what exercises have you banned from your gym or from your programming?
Well, there's going to be a very obvious one, and then there's going to be a few that I only ban for, like, certain reasons. That'll make, like, logical sense. But if in the spirit of the subject, the number one banned exercise in my gym and anywhere is burpees. No burpees. Don't do burpees. Now, there is a caveat. I have had a client in the past that was going to do a Spartan race. And if you can't do whatever obstacle in the Spartan race, you have to do like 25 burpees, which is an absurd amount of burpees.
I think it's 30, actually.
30 burpees. So anyway, so we did burpees.
Someone who's done a lot of Spartan races, it's burned into my...
Right. So you probably need to be good at burpees if you're going to do a Spartan race in case you can't do the obstacle. So in probably the last 10 years of my career, I've only programmed burpees... into a program one time, and that was because of this guy. So that'll be my first one. I've got other ones, but I'm gonna go. Let's go round robin around the table. So my number one right now, banned and probably forever banned, burpees. I probably took the king of all exercises to ban. But anyway, Tony.
All right. So exercise. I mean, I consider banned just because I think it just looks fucking ridiculous. Is the kickbacks on the Stairmaster.
Totally.
That does nothing. It does nothing, and you look ridiculous when you do it. I can understand why women do it because they want to build up the booty, which is understandable. But whenever I see a guy, I'm like, dude, no. I just want to like just take their wrist, like, no.
Yeah. An unresisted, you might as well just stand still in your like in your apartment and do the same thing. And you could do 1,000 of them and it probably would never do anything.
I mean, unless you try to slip in a fart or something.
Like shake one out,
Yeah.
Okay.
Just disguise it.
That's funny. I've often thought that. But I've never done it, so I was like, I can't knock it till I try it. But yeah.
Well, I'm going to knock it and I've never tried it.
Fair.
All right, Zach, what do you got?
This is tough. You took burpees, which is kind of what I was thinking. Shoot, and I had another one, but now
you're the kettlebell guy. Surely there's a kettlebell exercise you don't coach very often.
There's lots, but I wouldn't say they're necessarily banned.
I've got one, a kettlebell one, but I'm going to give you a chance.
Well, lay it on me. What do you think?
Overhead swing. American swing.
That's an obvious one. Thank you. Thank you for bailing me out on that one.
Yeah, the overhead American, or the American swing.
The American swing. Yes, thank you for that.
Now, What is the American swing? Because I'm not that, you got like a library of kettlebells over here. But like, what is the American swing?
I'm going to let the kettlebell expert tell you.
So in general, we have kind of three main styles, I guess you could say, of kettlebell swing. You've got what might be called like the soft style swing, which I'm speaking out of turn here because I don't even like, I'm not schooled at all on that technique, but it's a swing that kind of goes up to chest height.
Then you have bent arms.
Bent arms, kind of a swivel of the hips, kind of a more of like a rotational type kind of exercise. All
right.
There's like a lot of dipping and rebending of the knees, so it's kind of more of an endurance, kind of soft style exercise.
Okay.
Then you have kind of like what I typically train and what I kind of specialize in, which is the Russian hard style. So you basically try to put like as much like power and emphasis on every rep generally like as possible. So it's a deep hip hinge, a snap of the hips, and you, even if you're swinging a relatively light weight and you're very, very strong, the weight is just naturally going to float up to around chest or maybe eye level. But kind of the goal with a hard style is you pack your lats and you throw the weight back down before it gets too high anyway. So it's very kind of ballistic and tight in that nature. Now, American or CrossFit style swing, I guess, can be coached in that same way with like a good hard hip snap, but there's also a high pull motion where you yank the kettlebell up over your head so that the weight is then like, you know, pointing straight up to the ceiling. It's my understanding that that technique is used so that in competitions, you can be judged on your rep, right? So it quote unquote like doesn't count until you get to that full like overhead lockout. So you're kind of doing like a swing plus like this kind of, you know, when you have two hands on a kettlebell, your shoulders are like internally rotated, and then when you bring that overhead, you're kind of just like scrunching your shoulders and your neck kind of up. Like most people don't really have good shoulder mobility in the first place. So when you start doing a lot of that and like poking your head through, speaking to your point, I feel like it kind of looks ridiculous. I know that you're just kind of, you're doing a lot more for a lot less or a lot of nothing. And worst case scenario, like you'll throw your back out, you know, you'll kind of hyperextend your lumbar spine because you don't have the shoulder mobility to do this diver hand position with 50 pounds over your head. And if you want to throw something over your head, like you do a snatch or you do a press or whatever. So let us not get too far down that rabbit hole. But that is to say, thank you for that, Andy. The American swing is probably something that I'll probably never do and I'll probably never teach.
Okay.
So, otherwise, my philosophy is very much like everything has a place. It's all context related. Anything goes. But that's probably where I draw a line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got more. You want to keep going?
Lay it on me, man.
Olympic lifting. Now, I have to.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I have to.
But there's some context there.
There's some context here. I do not coach Olympic lifting, most notably because I'm not good at it, doing them or coaching them. So I don't think I should be going down a path teaching something I'm not good at teaching, so I don't do it. That's the most obvious answer. The second and less obvious is
You've been in the Olympics?
Right. Well, yeah. More pragmatically, I share walls with two other businesses. So, like, I can't be dropping bars all day long. Now, before 8 or 9 a.m., I can drop some bars. But in an effort to not get kicked out of my lease, which I would very much like to keep, I try to limit the number of dropping barbells when I, you know. Now, maybe one day if I have a standalone building, my opinion on this will change. But more pragmatically, it makes a lot of noise and it rattles walls and I have neighbors. So try not to get kicked out of my lease. And then the third thing is I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze for Gen Pop clients. Now, and again, caveat, if you're a CrossFit enthusiast or if you want to do Olympic lifting, I will send you to a CrossFit gym or an Olympic lifting coach because you're going to be in better hands for Olympic lifting. But for my people to like work through the progressions and the technique to even get to a level where you can actually move some decent weight and get the benefit of the drill, we're talking about like weeks, months, years of practice. For what? Like an explosive triple extension? I could just give you 5-pound weights and be like, try to touch your head to the ceiling. Like jump. So it's more practical for me to just have people practice triple extension in an application that makes sense to them, like jumping. And it's much faster and safer if I'm like, hey, hold these 5-pound dumbbells and jump as high as you can 3 times or 2 times. And then that gets our triple extension, that gets explosive work or whatever without having to work through all those progressions of Olympic lifting. So again, more practical, like it's more practical. It's not like I have an emotion attached to it, like I do burpees, because fuck burpees. Olympic lifting is just way outside my wheelhouse, and I just don't see how, I don't see utility with most of my people most of the time.
Yeah. I think we could draw from the well of CrossFit all day for band exercises. Because obviously, like, kipping pull-ups is another one that comes to mind.
Kipping pull-ups?
Oh, yeah, that's the running joke. Like, whenever you see people do the rattle off, like, 30 in a row, everybody else is like, zero, zero,
yeah.
Zero,
and
zero.
Not one pull-up was done.
Yeah. Not a single one was done.
Handstand push-ups or whatever? Or hand wall, whatever? Where your feet are on the wall.
Or kipping handstand push-ups.
Oh, God. Whoa. I don't even know how people do that shit.
Now, I may have told the story before. I actually have one of the reasons why that might also be a band exercise from my experience is because when I was working at the Lifetime Fitness back in the day, there was a guy who actually played professional baseball, and he would work out at Lifetime in the off-season. I saw him grab a couple kettlebells to use as handles for his handstand push-ups up against the wall.
I know this.
You obviously make your living as a professional athlete with your hands, with your shoulders, right, with your body. I'll be damned if this dude didn't grab like a 20-pound kettlebell, or maybe even lighter. Sets it up next to the wall. You know, posts his hands on the handles, kicks up into the handstand, is doing handstand push-ups. And I'm doing a session, and I'm watching this guy do one, two. He starts to get a little, you know, squirrely, starts trying to, like, kind of kip it a little bit, and his left hand kinks out, falls, you know, the kettlebell gives out, and he lands on that wrist. Very, you know, doesn't make a scene, puts the kettlebells away, walks directly out of the gym. And I don't know if I ever saw him again at that gym. So yeah, it's like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Kind of setting yourself up for failure if you do it that way. I mean, I've done handstand push-ups before by using my hands.
Yeah. Sure.
You know? Because if you look at a kettlebell, that thing is spherical. So right. That thing is just asking to be rolled.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that thought just never entered his mind. Who knows?
There's some circus tricks to be had, for sure, but he wasn't even doing it for the Instagram, which I maybe could have understood.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, certainly if you're... and he wasn't a big guy at all, so it's like, you know, if he grabbed like some 70, 80-pound kettlebells, those would have been good and sturdy, but he didn't. So, all that to say, that's also... another obvious point of safety there. But yeah, I don't think anything else I can think of off the top of my mind. Band exercises.
I'm trying to think of a bodybuilding one since you're
Well, there's a few. There's a curling in the squat rack.
Oh yeah,
which is big no-no. Let me see. There's behind the head lat pull downs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that can strain your neck muscles. That work, you know, that can. I'm sure when you watch YouTube, it's like, oh, people are doing it. I'm sure that's what I gotta do. No, that doesn't help. There are other, basically just a lot of unwritten rules, which, I mean, common sense stuff that people have done or have failed to do. Like I used to, back in Massachusetts, I used to work at a Gold's Gym, and there's this one guy who clearly had no idea what he was doing. In fact, he spent more time on his phone than he did actually working out. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I remember he was, I wanted to do spider curls. And the dude was just leaning up against it on his phone for at least 15 minutes. And then this same guy once brought his laptop into the weight room. And I'm like, does nobody else see? Am I the only one looking at this? It's like, it was kind of like that scene from Rush Hour 2 where Chris Tucker is watching that guy sing Michael Jackson karaoke. Like, what the hell is this? Am I the only one looking at this?
Work from home, work from gym.
Yeah, that just hurt to watch. But let me see, what else? I think this is a little more on the calisthenic side, but pretty much anything from Sean T's Insanity.
Like jumping around.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about him and that. Oh, man.
I mean, it was a good way to lose weight. I'll give him that much. But there's a lot in there which, I don't know, it would definitely work for me. There's always like this one exercise. I can't remember what it was, but it was like his favorite one. He just whipped it out of nowhere. I'm like, God damn it. No, I want to do this. Floor runs or something, or was it where you kind of, you're almost in a plank, but you're like, you know, you're
mountain climbers. Like
mountain climbers. Yeah. I hate mountain climbers.
I forget about mountain climbers all the time.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, jumping around, all that stuff.
I mean, you definitely work a sweat. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But as far as the bodybuilding goes, yeah. Curling the squat rack is a big no-no. That and improper form. Because whenever I see people doing, like, you know, curls, like, you're supposed to just, like, you know, keep back straight and just concentrate on your arms. I see people use it almost like they're doing kettlebell exercise, just swinging it.
Body English.
With their entire body.
Body English.
Call that body English.
Body English. Yeah. It's like you're just, like, you're not even working it. You're just kind of just curling your body around like one of those things you see in front of like a car dealership, those wacky arm guys.
I would actually be curious, Andy, maybe one day we could take a field trip to Redcon and get a workout in. Because honestly, I don't think I've ever been to like a, what you would call like a proper like bodybuilding oriented gym. Like I've been to a couple Golds like over the years.
Yeah.
But it was like never very busy or anything. And I'd be curious to kind of see what the scene is like in a gym like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. I love making the joke that like, you know, the bodybuilding gyms are like my kind of place because, you know, everybody out there is like built like a cloud. It's all like big and puffy when nobody speaks English. Like, instead of just saying, hey, are you using that machine? We just go, ooh, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever grunts the loudest is the alpha. You know, those are my kind of people.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, I mean, everybody. I mean, you have, like, normal-sized people, too. You know, it's not like, one of those toxic sort of gyms people seem to, you know, make them out to be. It's not like that cartoonish level. I mean, you see, like, guys cheering each other on. But nobody's like a schoolyard bully in these places. Nobody's out there shaming anybody. Oh, look at this guy. Nobody's ever like that.
I was going to say, like, you would... I feel like if you were an average gym goer, not even an average gym goer. Let's say you, like, first-time gym goer and you walked into Gym 5, you might be a little bit intimidated. But it has been my experience that no one in there is judgmental.
No.
Like, no one's too big for their britches. Like, everybody, like, gives each other space. Same thing. Like, you never really communicate because everybody's wearing their headphones. You kind of just do these, like...
Point.
Yeah.
Point. You. Me. You. Me. You. You.
Yeah.
And everyone's like...
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
Like, even though we just kind of, like, riled off on a few, like, band exercises and how... But then again, nobody's like outwards, like, yeah, you look stupid. Like, no, if it works for you, if it works for you.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's like, nobody there just goes out of their way to shame people. Like, you see them on, there's a thing on TikTok about how people will record other people at the gym, try to humiliate them. And it's like, dude, what are you doing?
It always backfires.
It always backfires.
Like, there's a few people that are like, and everybody else is like, at least they're in there doing work, you know? At least they're trying.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, some of them are a little goofy. I've seen those people that do, like, the cable cross and, like, launches them over, like, they're Spider-Man. Like, that's kind of funny. I can't really justify that as, like, but they're at the gym, so they've at least made the first step.
Yeah, at least they're making the effort.
If they want to look like Spider-Man, you know, being slung across the gym, it's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's not, like, you know, some cartoonish, you know, bunch of Neanderthals walking around. I mean, there are a lot of big guys there, but everybody is super nice and friendly. If you ask for a spot, they'll happily offer you a spot. So it's a very supportive atmosphere.
To sort of in the same vein of this conversation, you know, Planet Fitness is notorious for like being, but well, their whole thing is like be inclusive, but they've always kind of poked fun of like big bodybuilders. Oh. Or, like, making noise. Like, they had the lunk alarm, so...
I set off the lunk alarm.
Oh, nice. I've never done it.
That is one of my... That's, like, a crown jewel.
Oh, man.
I wear that like a badge of honor.
Yeah. I feel like we should do... That'll be our next field trip. Is a Planet Fitness. Set off the lunk alarm and get kicked out.
And then get a red con.
But, oh, yeah, right. So, all that is to say, though, in my own gym now, because, you know... Like this whole stigma around making noise, or my clients will do this. They'll like grunt or make a noise. They'll be like, "Oh, you know, sorry." And I'm like, "Make noise, be loud, make." We call it making animal noises. I'm like, "Let's make animal noises."
Yeah.
Ah. Sorry, you have to drown that out on the editing later. But anyway, point being, I kind of go in the opposite direction. Like, I want grunting. I want people to like make noise and feel, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta exert yourself.
Like, you don't have to. It's not a library. And I tell people that all the time. I'm like, this isn't a library. This is a gym. You are allowed to make noise. It's totally fine. Please make noise. It means that we're working.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You slam the weights if you have to.
They'll apologize when they drop weights. I'm like, they're built to be dropped. Like. Yeah. If I have to replace them, I replace them. But especially if it's a compromising position, like, you know, like coming out of like a dumbbell bench, people kind of do this weird, they like let those arms drop down to the floors like that. I'm like, just let them go. Yeah. I'd rather your shoulders be feeling good than, I'm not worried about my weights hitting the floor. Drop them. Like, bring them here, let them go. Just make sure there's no toes, you know? Make sure no one's standing right next to you.
Yeah, make sure your phone is clear.
Yeah, get your phone. Yeah, right. No toes, no phones, but otherwise... Let it rip.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out there killing yourself and, like, you finally rattle off that last three and, like, you're done. Yeah, if I'm doing shoulder press with free weights and then, like, you know, I can't go anymore. I'm like, down they go. I'm not doing a full-blown touchdown spike with them, you know. It's just like, you know, I'll just let loose and then just like, drop them and then I'll pick them up. All right? I'm not, like, going out of my way to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Planet Fitness and spike it, weight, overhead press, and then, and then I'll do my touchdown dance and see if I can set up that look along.
I'm making a TikTok just for that video.
Okay. It probably will go viral, and then I'll get more followers. I don't know.
I actually have my video of me setting up the lunk alarm on my TikTok.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is my crown. I mean, to add more context to it, the gym that I was at, they set up the lunk alarm when they're about to close. So, but I frame it in a way where I am.
Hey, movie magic.
Yeah, it's the magic of editing.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming out, dude. You obviously are keeping busy with your own podcast, your training, your comedy. So where do people find out more about you?
Beautiful. Yeah. So you can find me on social, on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Tony Tell Joke. I've completely steered into the whole Neanderthal theme. So yeah, it's Tony Tell Joke. And I also have my podcast, Hot Takes and Protein Shakes, wherever you can get podcasts.
Love it.
Love it, dude.
Sweet. Anything to wrap up with, guys? Any van?
No. I'll see you at my cookout. See you at my cookout later. Tony, you're welcome to come by. Just holler at me. I'll give you the address. You know how to get there.
I can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Burgers, hot dogs, all that shit.
I'll stick my nose out the window and follow my nose. Okay. The nose knows.
On that note.
Tony, thanks again for coming out. This has been the A to Z Show, episode 90. Yep. We are creeping up. Yep. Creeping up on those big three. Andy's got a baby on the way. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Yay.
Doing some travel here myself. Coaching at some powerlifting competitions. Got workshops coming up. And as I believe when this episode comes out, Liftapalooza 2023 registration will be live. Ooh. So you can check out zachhenderson.com/Liftapalooza and snag your early bird ticket.
Word.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next show.
Goodbye.